College. Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors. And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us for the very first time, a very, very special welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. I'm here because it matters, and you do too. And I hope you make a habit out of being here. It's a good place to be, and you're in good company. There are folks in about 95 countries who are joining you in this experience right now. The K-Files e-zine is something I mention almost every night right at this point in the show. And I mention it each night because, number one, you really do need to be subscribed to it. It's our free weekly newsletter. Number two, it amazes me how many people there are listening to the show right now by the multiple tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, who have never subscribed to the K-Files e-zine. And, you know, I sometimes ask the question, and I'll ask it here, where's the genius in that? There's not any. It's absolutely free, and there's no reason not to be getting it. It contains all the inside scoop, the inside information on the show. And we always include some links to interesting videos and some links to interesting sites for you to visit and some stories, some articles having to do with things in our genre. So I'll ask again, where's the genius in that? Not being subscribed to a source like that. Many of the questions that we get in emails, and look, it's fine. This is not a complaint. It's just an observation. Many of the questions that we get are things that we've already discussed. We've already published the information in the K-Files e-zine. And so, you know, when I get one of those, I know I'm reading an email from someone who hasn't subscribed. So, again, where is the genius in not subscribing to the K-Files e-zine? Go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. You'll see the button. It says K-Files e-zine. Just click on that, subscribe, and you are in. All right? My guest tonight was supposed to be Dr. Michael Sala, who is one of the founders of and one of the leaders of the exopolitics movement. Dr. Michael Sala has been my guest many times. I got an email from him, very apologetic. He made a mistake when he scheduled with us, in a mistake in his flight plans. He thought he would be already back home in Hawaii by showtime. As it happens, he is over the Pacific right now. And so he very graciously apologized and asked for us to reschedule, which we will do. So tonight we are going to go open line and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. Find your telephone, scrape up your courage, get your fingers limbered up, and get ready to dial because we will open the telephone lines here in just a little bit. We'll be back right after this. right. As I said, tonight is going to be open line. I brought some things to the table that I thought were a little bit interesting, and then we'll throw the I'll throw these on the table, and then we'll throw the telephone lines open, and we'll talk about what's interesting to you, what's on your mind, of course, within the genre of the strange and unexplained. One thing that, you know, I have sort of railed against is the phasing out of the NASA shuttle program. They're going to phase it out before they have its replacement ready to fly. So there will be a minimum of a 3-year gap and most likely a 5-year gap where NASA doesn't have spaceships they can fly to do manned space flight. Well, you may or may not know this, but the first people to build a space shuttle was not NASA. They were the first to deploy it and do manned missions with a space shuttle. But the first one was built by the Russians. It was called the Buran space program, and they just mothballed it. After NASA, you know, sort of won the race at putting it in space and doing manned space flights with the shuttle, the Buran just sort of got mothballed, and it's still there, but it's just been mothballed. It did fly, I think, one or two flights, remote controlled, non-manned, and so the Soviet era Buran may be revived because of the fact that Russia says, you know, this is really a serious thing. NASA is not going to be able to provide the space flights up to the space station, and we need a shuttle, and NASA's going out of business. So we're thinking of reviving this Soviet-era Buran space program, and they may start flying shuttles. And by the way, it looks almost identical to the space shuttles flown by NASA. All right, I think that says something really good, don't you, about the way we're handling our space program? I mean, that's really commendable that we are not going to be able to fly, and so they have to bring a mothballed Soviet-era space shuttle out to rescue manned spaceflight to the space station. Because NASA's basically just sort of going out of business. Real good, guys. Now, some of you have sent me emails and expressed great concern about the fact that NASA plans to... The emails I get say they plan to bomb the moon. And, you know, that's maybe not the right terminology. I understand what you mean. They are going to impact the moon with a non-explosive projectile. So it'll be just kinetic energy. They are going to do it. They have decided where they are going to impact the moon. And for those who are watching on KSS TV, you're now looking at a picture of the surface of the moon. And there are craters that are circled and labeled. The one that is labeled Cabeus A, that's the one where they're going to send this projectile. They are aiming at that crater, and they intend to impact it with a non-explosive projectile. It's called the LaCrosse mission, there'll be a bunch of different observatories and telescopes participating in observing what happens when the LaCrosse impacts this crater. Again, they say what they're looking for is the possibility that there may be water ice in some of these craters, and that one, they suspect, may have a very high possibility. Okay, one other thing before I actually open the phones. Yesterday on the show, I mentioned the fact that as of this morning, there was to be a launch at NASA's launch facility in Virginia. And this launch was to take an experiment up into the edge of space and create an artificial noctilucent cloud. I mentioned that this takes chemtrailing to new heights. And I got several emails from people who said, well, you know, this is not actually a chemtrail. I know that. That's what I said before I made that statement. I said it's not actually chemtrails. But it does take the activity of creating these artificial clouds to new heights. It's never been done at that altitude before. I'm not sure the purpose of the experiment, but it was supposed to have launched this morning. Some of you may have seen it. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, please feel free to go to my website, scroll down, and you'll find a link that says flash message. You can send me a flash message, all right? All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
I don't know if you can hear me all right, but your phone system on my phone is coming through choppier than a Chinese phone book.
And, well, that's good to know, Kevin. We have that almost nightly.
Well, you know, you're not the only show that's being attacked either, Kevin. A lot radio shows that have been speaking, that have been talking about information that they don't want people to know have been getting hit all over the place. And
that's true.
Yeah, like your show is getting hit, Rents and Alex Ansari and a whole bunch of others have been getting nailed recently.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, it's, you know, it's those guys that believe in freedom of speech and believe in the Constitution.
Yep, and even Mike Rivero got nailed just while I was actually talking with him, actually. And, anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're going to do what we can here and move along with the discussion of freedom of speech. And what I see with the combination of them hitting the moon and this cloud that they're putting, that they're going to be putting up there, artificial clouds at the edge of space.
Mm-hmm.
This is all smelling too much of Project Bluebeam. You know what I mean? Like, I know there's real legitimate extraterrestrial beings out there. I know there's legitimate Anunnaki buildings and that on the moon. But this whole thing is that we're seeing now, it stinks of Project Bluebeam.
Okay, go into a little bit of detail for the audience about what is Project Bluebeam and why you think there's a connection with these two things.
Well, I think the last card that this group known as the Illuminati is going to play is allegedly supposed to be a false flag alien invasion. And I think this is setting the stage perfectly for it. You know, they're setting up, they're going to attack, they're hitting this thing on the moon, which is going to, quote-unquote, trigger alien retaliation. And, of course, they're going to have all these particles in the atmosphere and everywhere else so they can to be able to project images of whatever they want to scare the bejesus out of the people. So point form is what Project Bluebeam is supposed to be, just another false flag atop all the other false flags that have been orchestrated over the past few decades.
All right, now, what's your source of information for about Project Bluebeam?
I had read an article. It was an article from a French-Canadian, actually, who did a lot of research on it back in the 90s. His name was I forget his last name. I read his article a couple of weeks ago. I reread it again, and it is a plausible plausible scenario, also considering the technology, you know, that HARP system that's out there, all these chemtrails, you wonder what those are really for that we've been seeing, and a lot of the secret space program that we've heard talk about over the years. There's something's being planned, and I think a lot of Project Bluebeam may be putting in, maybe what I'm smelling with this thing that's going to be happening on the moon.
How much confidence do you have in the reports about Project Bluebeam?
I'm going to wait and see how much the mainstream media covers this first before I come to any conclusions on that. If the mainstream media starts making a fuss over this, I'm going to be 100% sure that it is Project Bluebeam. I think it's all going to depend on how they're going to play with the fears of the people.
Well, the mainstream media is actually the elite media. Mm-hmm. And by that, I don't mean it's the best. I mean it's owned by the elite, lock, stock, and barrel.
Absolutely. Five major media corporations in North America owned, and pretty much the same people, or the same family line owns all five of them.
Thus proving that even in an allegedly free society, under a capitalist system of government, you can have the same type, the same level of media control that we said and we were all told was going on in the Soviet Union during the days of the Soviet Union when they were running the news media there. So you can have you can live in an allegedly free society and have the same level of media control that they had in the Soviet times.
It's a question of whose information do you trust, eh?
Well, if it comes out of major media, divide it by at least 10, and you'll be down near, maybe not too near, but near a kernel of truth. If it comes out of major media slants the news, not always by what they say, but also by what they will not report on.
That's right, and that's where you look to independent sources to get the stories that you're not hearing. And, that's pretty much the whole gist of what I'm calling is that I think that this whole NASA thing hitting the moon and all these artificial cloud things, it is smelling of Project Bluebeam. That's what
you say. It smells like there's cabbage cooking in the kitchen, huh?
Yeah, it smells like it, but it could be something else because other things smell just like it.
Okay, Kevin, thanks for the call. Oh, Kevin, right. By the way, I got your email, and I will be sending you those scripts.
All right, thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, or you can call me toll-free at 888-223-4599. What's on your mind? Look, it doesn't matter if you have had a UFO sighting or you've had an encounter with extraterrestrials, you've seen a ghost, you're beginning for some reason to have some ESP encounters that you never had before. Whatever it is that is on your mind that falls within the genre of this show, we would be more than happy to hear from you. We don't talk about politics, but we also don't talk about, recipes, auto mechanics, unless you have a demon-possessed car, something like that. So within the genre, whatever's on your mind, give us a call at 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Used to, people would tell me, they'd get email, I'd love to call in, but, I just can't afford that long-distance call. And we added the toll-free number so that I pay for the call, and they still don't call in. I don't know what to say about that. But, In fact, I do know what to say about it, and that is get off your duff and scrap up your courage and let's talk. All right? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Thank you for having Jeff on last night. It was very interesting to listen to his account about what his life's been ever since Dr. Lear had taken out the implant. And I'm really glad that he's doing so much better. So I know the last time you had him on the show, he did not sound very well at all, and I'm just glad that he's feeling much better.
You know, Jeff, let me add this. Jeff, he didn't get into details about the things he's developed, but he has developed some of the super high-tech stuff that you see, as he said, you see it in the news and you see it in some sci-fi movies.
Mm-hmm.
He has developed a bunch of that stuff for the U.S. military, and then, you know, he went through all this stuff, you know, with the implant and the extreme illnesses and nearly dying. And so I don't know. I thought, Debbie, that it would be worthwhile for the audience to get to hear the rest of the story, to get to hear the whole story and not just about the implant.
Right, right. Well, I think it's, I think it is, I agree with you. I think it was a good idea that you did have him come back because I think the American public needs to be made aware of to the fact that there are things that our government does that we don't, I mean, that not only that we don't know about, but there are things that they are doing to us that we don't know about. So by having Jeff come on and talk about his experiences, I think maybe this is starting to wake up those folks who don't think that our government is capable of doing those types of things. So I kind of look at it, I kind of saw it two ways. I saw it, you know, as Jeff talking about how he got better, but also about his experiences, you know, from having the implant inserted somehow and not even being aware of how it was done. Then, of course, how the implant was basically killing him from the inside out. And then, of course, thankfully, his, you know, miraculous recovery from having the implant removed by Dr. Lear. So, I mean, that if that in itself isn't a miracle story, I don't know what it is. But also, as I said, I think it was also twofold, too. I think that it was waking up some folks out in the audience.
Debbie, you'll have to hang on through the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back on the other side of this break with more Open Line Live. Right, we are back. Debbie, are you still with me?
Yes, Kevin, I am.
Sorry about that. Got caught by the break.
Oh, that's all right. Those things happen. You know, you've got when you have break time, you got to do it.
Got to do it.
Yeah, as I was stating, I think it's twofold. You know, of course, as I was saying, to reiterate what I was saying about you know, the miraculous recovery that Jeff has made, you know, through using all these holistic programs and stuff like that. And actually, I did check out his website, and I'm quite fascinated by the instruments that he has there. So I'm definitely, once I get my business up and running, I'm definitely going to look into that material. And then the second thing, as I was saying, is that I think it's also a wake-up call to the American public who would not even dare to think that their government would try to do something like that on their own person. And, you know, I want to say, hey, folks, wake up. You know, anything is possible, and there's a lot of things that our government does that you're not aware of. And
you know, Debbie, back during the Clinton administration, the Clinton people made public some formerly top-secret programs where the U.S. military conducted radiation tests on Americans without Americans knowing it, just to see what happens and how you die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Does that mean I hate my country or I'm unpatriotic? I'm not. But at the same time, I think we need to, the majority of the American people need to be made aware of the fact that these are things that are happening, and, you know, it's time, as you said before, it's time to get your head out of the sand and start paying attention to what's around you. Start looking around and seeing what's going on in society and you know.
Well, Debbie, I don't hate my country either. Now, my country has a constitution.
Right.
For a whole bunch of folks, especially in Washington, among the elite and elected, they are part of some other country. My country has a constitution, and I love my country. What was revealed to us by the Clinton administration, and I think they should be applauded for doing it, but what was revealed to us is on par with what the Nazis did in human experimentation on the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And those people that did that got hung. And this kind of just got swept under the rug, and they paid a few reparations, and, you know. Now, my country has a constitution, and in my country, those people that did that, I don't care if they were just following orders, those people that did that need to be in prison. In my country.
Right.
In my
right.
country. I realize I live in a country that probably no longer exists. But in my country, those people belong in jail.
Right. You know, and as you said, that country of ours was, you know, obviously, you know, a very law-abiding and I don't want to use the word, but that's the only word I can think of, God-fearing democracy. And today, it's anybody's guess as to what it is. It's anybody's guess. You know, it's hovering between a number of different types of, from, you know, fascism to dictatorship to Nazism to nihilism, you name it. I can't put my finger on any one of it because it changes from day to day. It's like, you know.
Well, doing Frankenstein science on humans without their knowledge and permission is a violation of law in 100% of the countries on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not only that, it's also the violation of the person themselves. You know, it's, you know, there's no rights. There's no personal rights. There's no human rights for that individual or the individuals that are having these things happen to them. So, yeah, it's very, very scary, you know, to think of. But like I said, I'm hoping that for folks that were listening last night, I tend to believe that most of the audience that listens to the show, like myself, are somewhat educated and enlightened as to what is going on, you know, and we're not blind or deaf as to what's happening these days. But there are a lot of people, and I think you agree with me, Kev, there's a lot of people out there in the American public that just, they either are naive or they're like the ostrich burying its head in the sand, or they just don't care.
Well, I think they've got their head somewhere. I'm not sure it's the sand.
That's very scary, mm-hmm. you know, when you think about it. It's very scary because, as you were saying before, you know, those are the individuals that either don't care that their rights are being taken away from them, or are just too scared to speak up and say, you know, I'm not going to stand for this. You know, this is my country, and you know, I've got my rights, I've got my freedoms. You're not going to take them away from me. So I don't know what it is. I'm just at times. I sometimes feel that folks just have sort of an apathy about some of this stuff. That, you know, they just.
Well, a lot of folks do, but see, you have your choice of prisons. You can speak up against this stuff and perhaps end up in a prison defined by walls. Or you can keep silent, and you'll be in a prison defined by the borders.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not trying to do my soapbox or anything tonight, but that I thought about this today during the day, and I was like, you know, geez, I'm really glad that Kevin had Jeff on, because I applaud the fact that, you know, he's had such a miraculous recovery from, you know, this horrible thing that was done to him. But at the same time, I also feel that, in a way, it was kind of like a warning call, you know, for, mm-hmm. for those folks who are not aware or not awake to, you know, become aware and become awake really quick.
So, okay. Well, Debbie, thanks for the call.
You have a good night now.
Okay, thanks. I have a couple of other calls that are flashing. Well, that one just released. Okay. All right, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. And the 888 number is the toll-free number, 888-223-4599. A couple of emails that I got today, one that I got last night, referenced Jeff, my guest last night, and they referred to him as Dr. Harvey. I want to make clear, Jeff is not a doctor, and he was not giving medical advice. He was explaining how he has been able to restore his health after some really, really serious health setbacks. But he's not a doctor. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Kevin in North Carolina.
Hi, Kevin.
Let's give Jeff Harvey an honorary doctorate in Kevology. How about that?
Okay, he's a Kevinist.
Well, I was thinking the Kevi Knights. Anyway. One time I called in talking about some contact experiences, and you said you wanted me to call in sometime so you could ask me some things about it.
Yeah.
So here I am, but let me see if I can maybe ask to put the first question in your mouth for you.
All right.
Why would somebody like me be so reluctant to talk about it?
Okay, let's hear the answer to that. Good question.
I was very naive when a lot of this first started revealing itself to me, and I actually did try to talk about it. And what I learned is that it's very hard to talk to people about something they don't want to know about.
Yeah.
The average person running around doesn't want to hear about it. People that say they want to know about UFOs and aliens and things like that, what they really are saying is, I've had an experience or I have questions and I'm looking for information that goes along with the opinion I'm trying to form. And if you have information that helps me form that opinion, I'll listen. And if you don't, well, you're crazy.
Yeah.
And it goes along that line.
You know, it's really true. There are people that, even if they're open-minded about the fact that there really are unidentified flying objects, and for all of you who are new listeners, let me tell you, if you're just now trying to come to grips with that, you're 20 years behind the curve. That debate's over. It's dead. You can stick a fork in it. It's done. There are even official government documents that admit the existence of real unidentified flying objects. Now, even if they're open-minded to that fact, they're still very often still have blinders on because they have a preconceived notion as to what those unidentified flying objects must be.
Yep.
So they must be a flying saucer circular craft with a little gray guy in it, or they must be a big triangular ship with reptilians in it, or they must be vehicles. There are other people who have the blinders on and they say, no, they're not vehicles at all. These are actual living entities. Well, the problem with that is it can all be true. They may be, some of them may be living entities, some of them may be vehicles. And there are people who think they came from some other star system. There are other people who think they're from some other planet within this solar system. Others think they live here on this planet, inside the planet. And you find those groups with blinders on, and they refuse to consider the possibility it may be all of those.
It may be. Kevin, the audio coming back down the phone, maybe if you could turn it down a little bit. It sounds like it's clipping. I'm having a hard time getting most of what you're saying. It could be all of the above. And from what I was saying before, UFO researchers are some of the worst about rejecting things they don't want to hear. And I do want to add, too, another reluctance I have about talking is my wife is in a government job. If what I knew came out in connection to her, she could easily lose her job in a heartbeat because it happened to both of us before. We were both pressured to leave government jobs that we had about 18 years ago because of something someone brought up. We both worked for the different departments of the same institution. Someone under my charge that I was having to investigate for theft brought up some of my personal beliefs, quoted, out of context and out of the situation, and these people zeroed in on this out of personal social prejudice towards me. Oh, we can't have a Looney Tune that believes that kind of stuff working for us. And this person, of course, did it to deflect blame off themselves. It, in other words, it's just not worth the hassle. And I've tried sometimes. I thought, well, maybe I'll just wait till people ask me questions. Well, I had somebody want to interview me about some stuff one time, and I thought they were fairly legitimate. It was someone that wrote papers and things like that. And when I didn't give them an exact gray abduction scenario, I was called, I have a big imagination, and I make it all up, and shame on you.
Mm-hmm.
Basically ridiculed because I had a story that was outside this person's paradigm. You know, the real truth about the aliens and UFOs, you know why people don't want to believe it, Kevin? Because it's not sexy. It's not slick. It's not cool. It's not, easy to digest. People want a very simple answer. The first stage, they want to know, are they good or bad? Well, they're neither. Well, are they reptilian or this? Well, they're both. Well, are they physical or corporeal? They're both.
Okay, stay on the line with me. We have to take a break, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is Open Line Live tonight. On the line with me is Kevin from North Carolina. And, Kevin, we had to interrupt you for break, but the floor is yours, sir. Go ahead.
Well, what I was basically trying to say, Kev, is if anybody wants to know why so many contactees are so reluctant, a lot of times people will say, oh, well, they're faking it, or, they have a multitude of reasons of why they want to reject it. But they want to reject it because they don't understand it. But the reason the reluctance of a contactee or, whatever you want to call it, experiencer's point of view is you've had something happen to you that is beyond normal. It's anomalous, an anomaly you've encountered. You're trying to explain it to yourself, and it's something that everyone else around you seems to ignore or not be aware of. And when you try to discuss it in a manner of exploration, and what do you think about this, and will this happen to me, what do you think it means, or they want you to suddenly have all the answers. Show us proof. Explain it. If you said, I can't be that, it's like, who needs that? And you question your own sanity, Kevin. I mean, picture this. You're driving down the street, and there's an accident. You're walking down the street, and you look out, there's an accident in the middle of the road, but yet all the traffic seems to just be driving around it. And you flag down a cop and go, hey, ain't you going to stop at this accident? He goes, what accident? And keeps going. If there's something that to you, it's right there, and it's real, and it needs attention, but everyone else seems to not be aware of its existence, you begin to question your own sanity. And you know, here
is something that I don't know if you'll connect with this or not, but this is something that is similar. Let's say, and I don't know if you've ever had this happen, let's say that someone really, really close to you, your mother, your father, or a spouse, or a child, dies. It's all of a sudden, it's as if life goes into slow motion and time is out of joint because you're experiencing something that no one else can actually experience. Okay, that particular death is having an impact on you. It does not have an impact on the guy you work with. And so they can pat you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, man, I know how you feel. You got my sympathy." And it absolutely, at that moment, means nothing to you because they're not connected to what you're feeling. You're experiencing something that no one else is experiencing. Now, others have experienced something similar. But you understand, that particular death is not impacting them. It's impacting you. And so, no one else, even if they sort of mentally can say, "Yeah, you know, I've been in that situation, I know how he's feeling," they can't connect with it. They're not connected to the person that died. It's a totally, completely private experience that you go through by yourself. And a UFO encounter is something similar to that. An encounter with extraterrestrials is something similar to that. Reality and time are out of joint. And others, even others who have seen or experienced a UFO or an extraterrestrial, haven't seen and experienced exactly what you just experienced. So they're not connected to it.
By the way, Kevin, you want to know what the, I don't know if it's in the official books, but what the psychologist term for such an experience is?
What's that?
You've seen a ghost or an alien or UFO or something outside the norm of quote-unquote reality. It's called having experienced an anomalous trauma.
Okay. Well, I can buy that. And it is traumatic because it's so far out of what we think is normal.
Yes.
Here's one of the things, though, that I try to think about because it really makes a lot of sense, at least to me. There is a story. It's in the Bible. And you have this guy that God is telling him he's got to go into battle. And he doesn't have enough troops. And he's saying, "You know, this is suicide. I don't think I can do this." And there's a prophet standing with him. And the prophet prays and says, "God, open his eyes so he can see." After he does that, it says the veil was dropped from this guy's eyes. And he could see thousands of angelic warriors that were, according to the story, going to fight on his side. Okay, here's the deal with that story. Whether people believe that's true or not true, here's the deal. There are realities all around us that our eyes don't see and our senses don't sense. They are not less real. Right at this moment, is there someone else in your house, or do you have a pet in your house right now?
Me? Yes.
Yeah. If you look at that person or at that pet, you cannot see the infrared radiation coming off of them. Your eyes can't see it, but it is absolutely real, and with the right lenses, you can see it. You cannot see ultraviolet light right now. And yet, in the room where you are, there is an abundance of ultraviolet light. But, you know, it's a reality, but you can't see it. We,
exactly.
We grew up thinking that what we can see, touch, taste, smell, and hear, that's the definition of reality. And it is. It's the definition of a very small part of reality, but there's a great deal more reality.
And you know, I've had some experiences, Kevin, that has, you know, not unlike the warrior, it has shown me that that stuff is there. And it's real. You know, it's like the doorknob. It's there.
Yeah.
You know, whether you choose to turn the knob and go through the door or not, I can't help that. But they're real. They're there. And it, to be honest, it's what causes me to have a lot of comfort and a sense of security, because I know what's there, even if other people ignore it. And I know in the end, you know, things are not going to be, you know, come up a total bed of roses. There's a lot of, you know, shaking of the fence coming down the pike. But that if you've got your act together, you're going to be okay. You know, you can survive this.
What amazes me, though, are the people, and there are a great many of these. I run into them frequently. People who absolutely reject the notion that there's any such thing as extraterrestrials. And then if you start mentioning, well, you know, what about, you know, in the Bible? And they say, well, there's angels. Oh, well, you know, are they from here? Well, no. Well, if they're not from here, they're extraterrestrial, my friend. You know, and they get all upset and wound up in knots over that. Anyone who says that they believe the Bible, and I say this because I'm sitting in the United States of America, where the vast majority of people in this country say they are religious. And most of them say they are Christians. Okay, so do you believe the Bible? Well, yeah. It's absolutely, from cover to cover, full of extraterrestrials. It is a book about an extraterrestrial that in the Bible goes by many names and is generally called God. He's not from here. And, you know, so people who are open-minded about the Bible, you would think would be open-minded enough to see that there are realities around us that our eyes don't see and our ears don't hear, and they are nonetheless real. However, we live in a world where people claim they believe that book and are totally saturated with five senses, and that's it.
What you started to say about they don't, you know, they don't believe it, they don't want to see it, it's no different than somebody in 15th century Europe. You walk up to them and you say, this is a Native American from across the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't exist. Can't be. World is flat. I mean, it's no different, Kevin.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good analogy. Kevin, I got to run. We're into a break.
Thanks, Kev.
Thanks for the call. Fascinating. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It is Open Line Live tonight. We'll talk about whatever it is that happens to be on your mind within our genre. No recipes tonight. No politics, you know. But within our genre. 623-444-5889 is the number. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Mike from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding, sir.
I've been listening to the conversations going on here, and, you know, I have some people that are close to me that I talk to about these subjects from time to time, but I find that the hardest thing for these people to accept it's not the aliens or things like this, but that our own government would do this kind of stuff to us. They just laugh and say, oh, that's just not so. It just can't happen.
Oh, there's a long history of it. It's well documented.
Sure. Definitely so. Goes back to, you know, to Tuskegee down in Alabama, where they took half of the blacks and treated them, you know, with syphilis and things of this nature. San Francisco, where they went up and down the coastline out there, spraying all these different things into the city. Yeah, this country is full of stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I think it's unfortunate. And on the one hand, I don't blame the entire government for this. It's a huge, huge thing, the government. And there are good people and bad people within it. But when you have a government that cannot get a handle on it and control it and put a stop to that, you have a government that's being paid for a job they're not doing. And, you know, if you have an employee like that, you know what you do? You fire him.
You know, it's just that the left hand doesn't seem to know what the right hand's doing, and same way with the left foot and the right foot. It's a wonder they can walk it off sometimes. And it's not necessarily, like you say, it's not the executive branch of this. It's the shadow government are the ones that all of these various committees that they come up with and create on their own to do this stuff.
Well, that's true. But the people that we vote on are hired to do a job. They are hired to do oversight. They are hired to protect us and to defend the Constitution. Of course, that's in the country that I was born in and the country I'm a citizen of. And I think a lot of those people that we hire, the people that we elect, they think of themselves as being part of some other country. And I think they should be. You know, if they cannot get a handle on this, if they cannot control it, if they cannot keep it, parts of our government from attacking us with biological weapons, which they have done, and with radiation, which they have done, if they can't get a handle on it and control it, there needs to be a clean sweep, and we need to install people who can and will control it.
You know, it's this whole globalism thing that's brought about this mentality. And a lot of these people that I'm talking about, they can't see that the Constitution is just being ripped right out from under them. They don't believe it. They think that we're just a bunch of extremists.
Well, you know, I don't care if they call me an extremist. It doesn't matter to me what an extremist says about me. You know, to me, the people who are working for the destruction of the Constitution and destruction of the country, those are extremists, and I don't care what they call me. Would they call George Washington an extremist? He most definitely was a revolutionary. Would they call Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, extremists? They were definitely revolutionaries. And were they alive today, they would be leading an armed revolution against this government.
Well, you know, if the people in this country hadn't stood up all down through history up to this present time, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And I think that at some point, people are going to begin, and you can see in some of the marches that are going on in the Capitol building, in Washington, that a lot of people are starting to wake up and get tired of this. It isn't dealing with UFOs and paranormal. It's just dealing with pure old economics.
Well, you know, the marches on Washington are being dismissed by the many of the elected people. I'm not going to call them officials. I'm not going to call them leaders. They're travesties. But some of them have embraced these marches and these marchers because they've realized that it's not politics. It's not, these people are not Republican. They're not Democrat. They're Republican, Democrat, and Independent.
Exactly.
And what they're calling for, they're not. The only issue they have is, hey, where's the Constitution? What's the matter with you guys? And so, you know, it's not a political thing. It's not Republican. It's not Democrat. It's about, you know, is the country going to survive? We'll see.
Citizens.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Sure. But when you have these elected things that say that those are mobs and that they're extremists, you're looking at someone that definitely needs to be fired.
Or you say that troops coming home from Iraq and Iran, or not Iran, but Afghanistan, are threats to this country.
Well, you know, the person behind that used to be the governor out here in Arizona. It was a happy day for Arizona when she got to move to Washington.
It wasn't a happy day for the rest of the country, though.
Well, we wanted to share a little bit of the blessing under which we had been suffering.
You know, getting back to the paranormal and the UFO aspect of it, you were talking about, and that Michael Diamond you had on there here a while back, and he was talking about everything being demonic, and I don't buy that. That's people's fear that's kicking out that book.
Well, theologians label some extraterrestrials as angels, and they label some extraterrestrials as demons. And if you just back away from theology, which is 100% man-made, all theology is... I have a doctor's degree in theology. And as a doctor in theology, I will tell you that 100% of theology is man-made. The simple definition of theology is thinking about God. That's the simple definition. All right, who's thinking? Well, humans. So all theology is man-made. And if you back away from it...
Out of me on that.
Do what?
That's true.
Oh, okay.
You won't get any argument out of me on that. I know that's true.
Well, if you back away from the theological viewpoints on all this, what you have is you have some extraterrestrials that are for us, and you have some that are against us. I've said many times that I don't see why extraterrestrials would be any different from us. There are people on this planet that are good and hardworking, and they are for peace, and there are others that are for destruction and war.
Exactly.
And I think you've got that with extraterrestrials as well, in as much as if the Bible is true and if the Quran is true, we are the creation of an extraterrestrial. So, you know, how would we be different from them? How would they be different from us? I think they're just like us.
Wasn't it Richard Hoagland that said that we may find out one day that we are the Martians?
Well, we might. But, you know, whether we're the Martians or not, I find it difficult to make a case that we're anything but extraterrestrial.
Right. But, you know, there's always the possibility that these alleged cultures that existed in the past, Atlantis, Lemuria, and some of these others, may not have just vanished in cataclysms, but may have actually migrated somewhere else.
It's possible. It's possible. You know, the one big theory is that they still are living on the inside of the Earth.
Right.
And, you know, there are people that say, oh, that's nuts. That couldn't be. Folks, you can't even pull up a satellite photograph of the North Pole or the South Pole.
Yep.
So how do you know what's there?
You know, when the Aztecs were being
robbed of all their gold, and they had Montezuma, the Spaniards did. There was a llama train full of gold on the way there, but then when they found out that they had killed Montezuma, that whole llama train just totally disappeared from the face of the earth. Where else would they have gone?
Well, there is an extensive tunnel system under all of South America. And there are people who say that Montezuma's wife had the gold put into the tunnel system and sealed it up.
Yes, and I understand that some of the Indians down there have access to those tunnels, and that there are supposedly or allegedly vast libraries written on gold leaf down there that hold the history of all the world back to that point.
Yeah, I've heard about that too. I hope that someday it is all discovered and brought to light. It would be a great day.
Yep, it would be, but you know, it seems like that in modern day that the government's role is to suppress rather than to enlighten.
Yeah. Now, having said that and having me agreed with it, let me say this. There are people within the government that don't want it to be that way. And they need encouragement, and we need to push them forward while we take these folks that are against the constitutional freedoms and they are against freedom and democracy and liberty. We need to push them out, and the people that are trying to make things right need to be pushed forward. Change can happen. I'm skeptical as to whether it will, but it can. And maybe it will.
Well, you know, it's like Kevin said a while ago, that he and his wife both had government jobs and lost them at one time, and now she's still working it, but they are reluctant to say anything for fear of the same thing happening again.
I had a similar situation happen. And then I went on the air. I'll tell you about this very quickly. I was doing this show. I started this show in Kosovo, and after my first tour in Kosovo, which consisted of four missions, a mission is 6 months, and so I did four missions, completed four missions in Kosovo. I came back and was awaiting my next assignment, and it wasn't coming, it wasn't coming, it wasn't happening, it wasn't happening. Now, when I was in Kosovo, I did what I do best, which was I was head of a unit called Information Collection and Analysis. And so I decided to run my own information collection and analysis on why I wasn't getting another mission. And I found out on a certain date there was a meeting. In this meeting, I found out the names of the people who were there. I found out where it was held, what room this meeting was held in, the time of day this meeting was held, and I found out that a particular person that I had helped a lot was under my command in Albania, and I had helped this person a lot. Well, now she was one of the big wheels, and she made the statement, Kevin Smith believes in little green men. We don't need people like that, and as long as I have anything to say about it, he'll never work another mission. I found this out and confirmed it, and I went on the air, and I told the story, and I said, that's fine. If that's how you feel, I didn't name names. And if she's listening tonight, she knows who she is. I didn't name names, but I said, that's fine. But I don't believe in little green men. I never said I did. And what you're doing amounts to harming me and harming my ability to earn a living with false information. And I'm going to sue you. and I'm going to sue your entire outfit, and I'm going to own everything you ever thought you could possibly own. I kid you not, within 3 days of doing that broadcast, I got a call from D.C., and I had a new mission.
You know, that little green man thing, as you know, was started by the press.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, even before Art Bell, there was Billy Goodman out there in Las Vegas, and he was the one that was bringing out the Bob Lazars and the Bill Englishes and all of these people. And they finally shipped him out of there. They fired him out there, and they sent him over to New York. And I've seen him doing radio shows a few years back in, from New York. But they just keep trying and trying to close the door on this stuff. But there's enough people with backbone out there that are pushing the door back open in mass.
Well, that's true. Any struggle has casualties. And, you know, there have been times where I've been one of the casualties. And there may be times yet ahead of me where I'm one of the casualties. But the fact is, they're losing. The old paradigm is in its death throes. They are losing. We are winning. And they're on the wrong side of history here. And they're going to be on the wrong side of the results, because those who believe in freedom and those who believe in the truth are winning. Doesn't look like it sometimes, but we are winning. Now, right now, they're putting up a mighty battle against us. And it's pretty tough. But when it's said and done, we win. They lose. And they get what's coming to them. There are people that say we ought to have amnesty for them. Okay, I'm willing right now to grant amnesty to all these people who have committed crimes in the name of keeping UFOs secret. I'm willing right now. But if you think I'm going to be willing once we win, once they fight us to the bitter end and we win, the answer to that is hell no.
Right.
At that point, they pay for their crimes.
They have to be punished for eventually. A lot of good people died because of these people. And but we'll wait till, like you said, till we win, and then when we do, then we'll call them up on the carpet for it. Kevin, I'll let you go so you can get other people in here. Nice talking to you. Nice show. I'm glad you had open lines. Great show last night.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Oops. Hang on a second. Let me push the right button. All right, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Stefan from Quebec City.
All right, Stefan, I answered a line that had no call on it. How about that?
Wow.
Pushed the wrong button. What's on your mind this evening?
Kevin, my question is actually to you.
Okay.
Do you think that the current military and law enforcement mindset in the world is helping or hindering the coming out of the truth regarding extraterrestrials?
Both.
Do you think a lot of officers and military personnel are feeling conflicted around the world right now?
You know, Stefan, the answer to that is yes and no. I can tell you that police officers feel conflicted over many, many issues all the time. There are situations where the law says that they must make an arrest, but the actual circumstances they're looking at do not really warrant making an arrest. They warrant some other solution. But the law is specific and says you must make an arrest. They feel conflicted about it, but they have to follow what the law says. Now, as a result of that, we have a lot of people in prison that shouldn't be in prison. By the way, if you ever plan to come to the United States, keep in mind it is statistically the easiest place on planet Earth to go to prison. We have the highest percentage of our population behind bars, the highest percentage in the Western world, and the statistically the easiest place in the United States to go to prison is Louisiana. So keep that in mind if you come here. We put people in prison over nothing and things that they shouldn't even be in prison over, and then we wonder, how are we going to keep paying for all this? So they feel conflicted, and the same thing is true about UFOs and UFO disclosure. The same, I think, would be true for the military. I can't speak for them because I'm not military. I was police, and then I was international police. I think it would be true for the military, too. In some cases, the police officers assist in disclosure, and in some cases, they assist in the cover-up. Same in the military. And I think it depends on the individuals and how afraid they are of their chain of command.
So if you were to be able to turn back time, Kevin, would you join again, knowing how much more secretive it has become, or would you try to reform it from within?
If I had to face the decision of being a police officer in the environment that we live in today, my answer is no, I will not do it. In fact, I've had recruiters since I've been back in the United States that have tried to recruit me for various police departments. And my answer is no. I have no interest in being a part of what I see as a rapidly developing police state. And I have no interest in being a part of that. That's where it's headed. If we could turn back time and I was facing the same circumstances that I was facing when I became a police officer, it was a different environment. And so, yes, I would be a part of it. But in today's environment, absolutely not.
Well, that's pretty telling. That's my feeling on it as well. I grew up as a military brat on several bases throughout here in Canada because of my father. But
okay, Stefan, if you will, just hang on. We have a break taking over. I'll be back with you on the other side of the break. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And, Stefan, are you still on the line?
Yeah, sure am, Kevin.
All right, you said that you grew up in as a, I think you said, a military kid?
Yep, my father was in the 22nd Regiment.
Uh-huh.
Time in Nicosia and Paris and Germany, Turkey, all those places.
There, you have no doubt heard the big dust-up down here in the United States over Janet Napolitano, who is the head of Homeland Security, issuing a report that identifies returning veterans as possible threats to our security. Now, there's only one possibility, that comes to my mind as to why you would even think such a thing. And that is, you know that you are part of a government that is anti-constitutional. And you know that some veterans returning will follow orders. Others will follow their oath to protect and defend the Constitution, meaning they are a threat to your security.
Yep.
And I think all of our military and all policemen should think about the oath they take. The oath is to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so then if you're part of a government that has become an enemy to the Constitution, then you are a domestic threat, and their oath is to take care of that. And so, you know, if you're, I'm not saying that Janet Napolitano is a threat to the Constitution. My personal opinion is, I'll keep my personal opinion to myself, but the only possibility that comes to my mind as to why Janet Napolitano or anybody in the government would think, even think, that returning veterans might be a threat is if they themselves know that they themselves are an enemy of the Constitution.
Hmm. Yeah. I just hope it doesn't come to blood on this, because in reality, I think it's a very, very small number of people behind all the chaos. And the puppets are just being manipulated.
Well, I think it's a small number of people, but they have a lot of power in their hands. And it's kind of like an elephant, you know. If an elephant makes a small misstep and his foot comes down on top of your foot, it's a small thing for that elephant, but it's a big deal for you. You'll never use that foot again. And that's the way it is when people have a lot of power. Stefan, I have to move on, but thanks for the call.
Yep, thank you, Kevin.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. It's a serious thing. It really is a serious thing. It affects, you may be asking yourself, why would I even make some of the comments I made tonight? Well, see, it affects whether I get to sit here and talk to you about UFOs, extraterrestrials, ghosts, psychic phenomena, Mars exploration, etc. Part of this police state mentality has produced legislation that gives the president absolute authority over the internet. Are you aware of that? Now, if you're not, why aren't you aware of it? Where were you when the future arrived? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, sir?
Good.
Hey, kind of in the same vein, we've been talking a lot about the government here, and I'm just curious, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to. I understand that. My question to you is, are you going to be getting the H1N1 vaccine?
No.
They offer it free like they're talking about?
No.
No?
No.
May I ask any particular reason why?
Well, I can tell you that generally, I have taken flu vaccines twice in my 56 years, and both times I got the flu.
Yeah.
So one of those times was severe, really severe. So no, I'm not going to take it. Now, if it's forced on me, you know, like Jeff said last night, if 18 goons grab you and hold you down and give you the vaccination, he said, don't worry about it. We have the means to get that all out of your system. So I'll go through that and get it all out of my system. There is also information that people who don't take it are going to be rounded up and put in quarantine camps. The military has volunteered to assist in making sure everybody gets their vaccinations. And there will be 5 regional commands. So the United States has been split up into 5 zones, and the military, under NORCOM, will be doing that. There are people who say, oh, well, that's not, you know, that's, they're just assisting. They're not going to round people up and all that. Well, why do you need the military? Why don't you bring the Peace Corps in? So, you know, it's a violation of posse comitatus, which the Bush administration completely trashed. And so, you know, will I take it? No. Will I go to a quarantine camp? Before I'll take the vaccine, I will.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that, sir. I was just kind of curious about that.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right. All righty then. Telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. It's Open Line Live. We'll talk about what's on your mind. We'll talk about what you want to talk about within our genre. Now, it's not talking politics when you talk about the government. It is talking politics when you start assailing one political party or the other, or you start promoting one political party or the other. Now you've gone political. When you're talking about the government, you're talking about the Constitution, you're not talking about politics, you're talking about issues. That's fair game. The H1N1 vaccinations, I've heard all kinds of things about them. One thing that is true is that one of the labs producing those has been caught shipping contaminated, if you will, pharmaceuticals to other countries. They sent a batch of vaccinations over to the Czech Republic. They decided in the Czech Republic to test them, to test this batch of medicine before they administered the vaccinations to their people. They used five ferrets. All five ferrets contracted the disease, all five of them contracted the disease for which the vaccinations were supposed to be preventative. The pharmaceutical company said, oh, sorry, bad batch. That's one of the companies that's producing the vaccinations they say we're all going to have to take. Bad batch? Not in my arm or my tush. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? I see. Okie dokie. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. What about you? Are you going to take the vaccinations? Are you going to submit to that? Now, what if, yeah, it's easy to say no right now, but when you roll up to a checkpoint on the highway, and some states have a plan to have checkpoints on the highway, you roll up to the checkpoint, and they're standing there with the pneumatic gun to shoot the vaccination into your arm, and if you say, no, I don't want it, then are you prepared at that point to get on the bus headed to the quarantine camp? I mean, it may come down to that. I'm not saying it will come down to that. There are these plans in place. That's not a myth, that's not a rumor, and it's not in every state. But there are states that have that plan. So are you prepared to say no if saying no means you're on your way home from work? You got to get home and fix dinner for the family and or take the family out to eat, whatever you got to do for the evening. The kids are just getting off from school, they're just getting home, you roll up on a checkpoint. You have a choice to take the vaccination or go to the quarantine camp. Are you prepared to not get home that day and maybe not again? Are you? I'd like to know. I'd like to know what you think about that. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. It's a tough choice, don't you think? It's a tough choice to make, but it's one you may have to make. All right, well, we've got people that are calling in and hanging up. And let me just see where that one was from. Yeah, okay. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Aaron.
Aaron, where are you calling from?
San Antonio.
From San Antonio. What's on your mind this evening, Aaron?
I was just wondering if you've seen the Mexico, the second video of the UFO in Mexico, the one that was kind of spitting out the orbs.
Yeah.
Second video done. I was wondering if you saw that and what you thought of that.
I have seen it, and it's amazing. I don't know what to say about it. One of the comments, I put a link to that in the K-Files e-zine 2 or 3 weeks back. And one of the comments that I got from someone was that for him, this proved it's a living entity and that what we're watching is it's giving birth or laying eggs in the air. What do you think about that?
That's exactly my mind thought was about it. And I thought what really stuck out to me is it matches the first video almost perfectly. So I think it's the real deal, and it's just weird. It just, when you talked about living entities before, you talked about Tin Man, the Star Trek.
Yeah. Hey, can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yeah, you hang on. You won't hear anything, but just hang on. You're on hold. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Pardon me. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we have a caller from San Antonio, Texas online. You said your name is Aaron?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Aaron, you saw the video, and what the video, folks, that he's talking about is what we would say is a UFO. There's something up in the sky. It begins to spin, and it begins to spin out. To spit out, if you will, a stream on two sides of it of what looks like smaller UFOs. But they don't look like vehicles. I mean, they're just the orbs of light. I don't know what it is. It looks like something that's either giving birth or laying eggs. And then these orbs of light begin to fly around and maneuver around and do formations. When you saw it, you thought, Aaron, that it is a living entity. Is that right?
Yes. I think it could be a kind of a space entity. Because if you think about it, not all organisms require oxygen to live. So if you have something that's carbon-based, perhaps, that could live on, say, a comet, and so long as it has a source of energy, which would be, i.e., the sun, it could survive. And I think maybe what it needs is, like, some animals have to go into kind of a birthing area,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a water or something like that, for it to survive the initial birth. Maybe that's what it did. It comes to Earth briefly. So it can spawn initially, where the creatures will survive the initial pressures of Earth, and then it can slowly migrate to space and hitch a ride on a comet or what asteroid, whatever, and survive in space. I think it's very possible for something to survive in space. It's just, if you think about the extremes of organisms that survive, if you have something in our habitable zone, I think it is possible. So that's just my theory. And it, there's so many ancient, we've only been around here, what, around 10,000, what, 10 million years or something like that. The Earth has been along billions of years. So what's to say something didn't develop before then?
That well, you're survive? Exactly right. You're exactly right. And, you know, I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but I say very often that, you know, it's foolish for us to spend billions of dollars going to another planet and looking for life that looks like us. We look like we do because of what there is to live on here. And not just us, but all the other animals. We live on the resources that are here. You go to another planet that doesn't have these resources, it's got its own set of resources. You need to be looking for life that lives on those.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
No problem.
Yeah. All right. All right. We have time, if you call right now, for one more call. It's been an interesting evening. A lot of different stuff talked about, but that's the way it goes on Open Line Live, and that's one of the reasons I like Open Line Live. I've said before, it's kind of like going to university. It's sort of like that. It's kind of like going to university, and there are all these different classes you can take and all these different topics you can study. And Open Line Live kind of turns into that. There's all kinds of ideas, all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of topics we can talk about. I have received some flash messages here tonight. I noticed one from the United States. What happens if it comes in from the United States, if it comes in from Canada, the message is deleted, but I get a notice that it came in. And then I have one from the United Kingdom. And because flash messages have to be from outside the USA and outside of Canada. You live in Canada, you live in the USA, use your telephone. All right, this one says, I know this is not about the supernatural and totally unexplained, but I think it is so important. The free man on the land movement is gaining momentum here in Britain, and I would say to all other men and women of the British Commonwealth countries to inform yourselves of this movement. In Britain, in particular, the implications of the findings of some brave British men and women point to acts of treason and the undermining of our national sovereignty. This is relevant to America and Canada, too. And then he gives me a link for me to take a look at, which I will after the show. Open Line Live allows us a big, wide open range of topics to talk about. And you get to decide what we talk about. We can talk about the UFO in Mexico, like we just did. We can talk about the whole thing with, you know, I can't talk about UFOs and extraterrestrials because I did that once before and I got fired from a government job. We can talk about that. We can talk about these vaccinations that are coming up. Should we take them or should we not? I myself have chosen not to, because every time I've ever taken any kind of flu vaccination, I got sick, really sick. And I don't want to be sick, so I'm not taking it. But am I prepared to go to a concentration camp? They call it a quarantine camp. Yeah, I am. Are you? Now, maybe it won't come to that. Maybe all of that is hype, and maybe it's rumor, and it's not real. I don't think that's the case. I think it is the case that that's what's being planned. But I could be wrong. Am I prepared, in case I'm right, am I prepared to go the distance with this? Yes, I am. And, you know, like I said earlier, you get to choose which prison you live in. You can be free right here and risk being imprisoned behind walls. Or you can choose not to be free here and be imprisoned within your borders. There's a story about Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson. Thoreau refused to pay a tax and got put in jail. His friend, Ralph Waldo Emerson, came to see him in jail, and he said, "My dear Henry, what are you doing in there?" And Henry David Thoreau said, "My dear Ralph, what are you doing out there?" Thoreau was willing, regardless of what it cost him, to stand his principles. It may, at times in your life, mean jail time to stand your principles. And I'm not talking about doing anything violent. I'm not talking, look, that's stupid. I'm just talking about living according to what you believe is correct. There may be times in your life where you spend time in jail over that. And might I remember with you that the founder of one of the world's great religions, Christianity, died a criminal. He was given capital punishment as a convicted criminal. Now, he was not violent, nor am I. Nor am I saying that I am comparing myself to him. I'm just saying sometimes principle has to win. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.